Hello everyone, this is Will.
And this is Alex.
And welcome back to another episode of They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Yeah! Mostly.
Why?
Why?
Why can't we have a story where they explain everything and no stupid shit happens? Oh wait, because we decided to review bad horror movies.
Yes.
That's why. We chose this life.
Well, they could still try.
You think, but they don't. Because you know what? Trying involves effort, and effort involves actually coming up with a cohesive, clear storyline.
Imagine that.
Can you imagine sitting down and brainstorming a plot line?
Who the fuck brainstormed this?
No one.
Exactly.
Because they probably just were like, okay, action, let's just do it.
Beer is what went into making this movie.
It's like what goes into making this podcast.
Yes.
Lots and lots and lots of beer.
That's what went into making this movie. That and the $36,000 Canadian dollars they spent on something.
Well, but don't worry. It's going to warn us if there's any violent scenes.
It should have warned us about the movie.
It should have been like,
warning, the movie you're about to watch is a piece of shit.
So, real talk though, like, I felt for that guy, like, vomiting in the theater, because that's how I felt during the entire movie.
That's how I felt during the, quote-unquote sex scene.
Yeah.
I felt like vomiting.
I felt like that warning
guy. Yeah.
The guy in the theater, like, yeah, almost hurling because he's seeing disgusting shit.
Oh, God. So the movie is called Corpse Eaters.
Sounds great, right?
Not really.
No.
But that's not important. Title, who gives a shit? It is 57 minutes long. That's it.
No, 56.
56 minutes and 57 seconds.
You give it too much credit. It's 2 seconds under 57 minutes.
Fuck you, Will.
Fuck you. Now, I can't, like, stress this enough. This movie, as we're describing this, I want everyone to keep in mind, this movie is under an hour long.
Our previous movie was, like, an hour and 2 minutes. Axe. Yes. And Axe is a coherent masterpiece compared to this. And it was only about 5 minutes longer.
Yeah. But at least it explained some shit.
At least we understood most things.
I want everyone to know that I'm broken after this fucking movie. I don't know what the hell happened.
So this movie is from the Great White North. We know, because, well, obviously I looked it up before the movie. But also, we are commemorating it by drinking Molson.
Yes.
Which they drink in the movie, too.
Molson did not sponsor this.
In quite possibly the most disgusting scene I've ever witnessed.
We would be a Canadian podcast if Molson wanted to sponsor our podcast.
Look, if you want to sponsor this, I'll move to fucking Vancouver and, you know.
Yeah,
I'll drink maple syrup by the gallon. Okay? If you want to sponsor me,
I'll
fine.
Be a fucking Mountie if you don't want me to.
Yeah. I'll do all that. I'll fight moose in the woods. All that shit Canadians do.
Lumberjacking, you know, all that shit. Maybe speaking a little bit of French.
Talking funny.
Yeah. Well, even, funny to us. Because
here's the thing. Even if I didn't know beforehand that this was a Canadian movie, the disclaimer you get in the beginning is a goddamn dead giveaway.
This is the most Canadian... This opening, when they're, like, describing, like, the movie has a violent nature.
And one of our listeners is Canadian, so you should be proud.
This is the most Canadian thing I've ever fucking seen in my entire life. And I've been to Canada, so...
Okay. So, if... There's a gimmick in this movie.
So, let me set this up. If anyone out there has watched Hammer films... You'll know, because...
William Castle.
Because... Oh, sorry, Castle Films, sorry. Yeah. Because William Castle comes out and is like, oh, this movie's pretty scary and all this stuff. And like,
yeah,
you know, like, you should be warned that this is going to scare you and all this stuff. Like, warning the audience.
all of his movies
for a ride.
All of his movies had a gimmick.
Yes, like how
some worked, some didn't.
House on Haunted Hill had a skeleton that would go across the theater. Like he always had like some way of trying to scare the audience in a live theater.
13 Ghosts had like these glasses that showed you the ghosts. Like they all had a gimmick, and some worked, some didn't. Whatever. But this one has a gimmick like that. There's a disclaimer in the beginning that is like, the motion picture you're about to see is very, like, disturbing.
Excuse me, it's a boot.
About.
The motion picture you're about a boot to see.
It's not a boot. It's like, about.
Has a violent nature, and so, like, it's explaining that it has, like, it gets kind of gory, and some people can't stand the gore. Yes. It's being, like, way too nice on the audience. It's like, you know, if you can't stand gore, don't worry. We're going to warn you when the gore, so you can look away.
When the gore is about to happen.
So, it literally describes that you're going to see a flashing screen with a guy in green.
In a theater.
Holding a handkerchief. Leaning away from the theater and like
pretending being to
disgusted.
Puke.
Yeah,
yeah. You will. The movie will warn you that you're about to see something really spooky.
Now, in case you're confused, don't worry. It is like we will test it now, and then it shows the guy in green pretending to puke.
This,
and then the movie starts.
And then the quote-unquote movie starts.
But, like, it's so innocent and so nice because it's, like, over-explaining that, like, some people get sensitive to, like, light. And, like, some people get sensitive to, like, gore and stuff. And, like, some people get queasy. And, like, it's being overly nice to the audience.
Yeah. In case, you know, someone who's very fucking queasy to gore goes and sees a 57-minute-long movie called Corpse Eaters.
Yeah, but...
because that happens.
Once.
In the one theater they showed this movie in.
Yeah. So we see a happy halo?
Yeah.
Happy halo, like, mortuary.
Yes.
And it's...
very happy halo.
And then it, like, gives us a close-up of the chapel.
And there's, like, this couple leaving, and they're like, we put your mom in our golden years room. She'll be fine there.
Yeah, like, don't worry, we'll take care of everything else and all this stuff.
And it's like the funeral director or whatever. And he gets a phone call that they're bringing in a body.
It's like a rush job. Some guy got apparently mauled by a bear.
Yeah. Well,
mauled by a bear. Just remember, I want you to remember that. Mauled by a bear.
Well, let's just say that he did not get mauled by a bear.
Well, the one thing I love, the old guy says, like, yeah, we're the best in town when it comes to restoring faces.
Oh, yeah. And he even comments later, like, you did a really good job on his face. So he talks to the fucking...
is it a cremator?
Not...
what's his name?
Whoever that guy is who sets the bodies up for the fucking viewing.
Is it a mortician?
Yeah. Whoever, okay, yeah, the guy who sets the bodies up for the viewing.
Yeah, so he goes and talks to him and says there's a rush case coming through.
And he has a fucking goofy accent as well.
And he's gonna... it's called a Canadian accent?
It's goofy. I'm sorry.
You're gonna insult the one Canadian fan we have out there?
I don't make the rules.
They probably think our accent's goofy.
I know it is. There is a Utah accent.
Yeah, it's goofy.
We don't say mountain.
We're lazy.
We say mountain.
Listen, we don't have time to deal with those...
fountain!
We don't have time to deal with those...
T's.
In T's.
Because we're in a hurry or something.
Well, we also call creeks cricks, so explain that. I don't fucking get it.
That's not me. I remember, though, all my teachers would always say crick, and some of them... would say Sunday.
Well, we also have a fucking town called Hurricane that we all call Hurricane.
Yeah, because it's fucking country yokel bullshit hellhole. So it makes sense you call it Hurricane.
I'm glad in this episode you're insulting our Hurricane listeners.
There is no one who listens.
There might be one.
No one in Hurricane has internet.
If you're in Hurricane and you listen to this podcast, represent yourself on Facebook, please.
There are no real people in Hurricane.
There are real people in Hurricane.
Nah. Fake news.
No.
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 No. No. Then he's like, oh, I'm late. I have to go do something. And he, what does he have to do?
Well, I thought he was going home.
Or, yeah, because he's like in a rush. He's like, so I have to go do something.
It starts intercutting between the mortician getting the body ready. And by the way, the guy comes in. His face is fine.
He has like a little scratch on his
cheek. The quote-unquote bear attack victim who had his face destroyed. His face is fine.
He has a scratch on his cheek. That's it.
That's it.
That is it. He like starts, a little scratch.
And he gets to work. Scratch. And then we see the guy who owns the mortuary or whatever.
Driving around and like insulting people who like... He's like walking around the cemetery and is like, I don't get why people... If they could see
how much money they spend on this.
If they could see inside the coffins, they'd just see a rotting corpse.
So, for no reason, and I do mean no reason, the guy drives around in his car and gives...
Not just his car. He drives around in a fucking hearse.
And he gives edgy narration.
Yes.
And I do mean edgy, because he's like, first he insults people who spend money on funerals, and it's like, okay, that's what you do for a living, but whatever. Then he insults the guy they brought in. Then he just like edgy as he drives around.
He's angsty. He's an angsty mortuary.
This dude is like a fucking angsty 12-year-old.
Yeah, because he's like complaining about everything. It's while like the kind of drive around the cemetery. Yeah,
it's the kind of shit that you would have wrote when MySpace was a thing.
Probably because this film, I think, was written by a teenager, so.
I did read that the guy who produced this was a teenager at the time.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
It does.
So he drives around, and eventually he comes back. So what...
He's, like, saying stuff about, like, oh, well, we're gonna do such a good job, no one will ever know it was a bear.
Well, here's the stupid thing, right? He comes back. So this means that for no reason, he got in a hearse, drove in a circle... Did some edgy narration.
You know what?
And that's it.
When times get rough, I jump in my hearse and I drive.
Do you talk to yourself?
I drive around the cemetery and talk to myself.
You just
and insult people while I just, ah, I can't believe these people. Look at all these graves that they could see inside the
coffins. Yeah, like with my old job. See, I didn't work in a cemetery, but I would get in my car and drive around the office building insulting everybody.
So, like, when you get pissed off, you know, some people say you should, like, you know, dance like...
Chill Kevin, the fuck out?
Dance like Kevin Bacon. Chill the fuck out. No. You get in your car and you drive around your place of employ until you're calm.
In the company car.
And you have to insult the company that you work for while you're doing it.
And everything about it.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Like an angsty teenager.
And this scene really has a lot of, you know, character development for us, right?
I'm only dragging this out because I don't want to go over the next scene that happened.
I do. I do.
I don't.
This next scene is quite possibly the least sexy thing.
So after the guy gets back from his angsty drive, he talks and says, like, oh, you did such a good job and all that stuff, and they're just looking at the guy.
They're like,
and
then he fixed his face up. And then I'm like, this fucking... He didn't do shit to his face.
And then it immediately cuts to a guy just backing up a boat on a river.
Well, like, so it goes into a flashback, but we didn't realize this until the flashback ended.
I had no idea, because they don't explain jack shit.
We didn't realize it was a flashback until the flashback ends in 30 minutes. Which, by the way, is 70% of the movie. Okay? So, we get a boat on a lake. We get this wacky music.
It's really upbeat, wacky music.
As this boat goes down this lake and goes around and down and around.
At first I was like, okay, they're just setting up the characters. But then I realized that this scene was going on far, far too long.
Well, that's fine. Because eventually they pull up to the shore. They get out. They get their Molson's registered trademark.
Yes.
And... One of them turns on the radio, and they start playing the same song we heard earlier.
But slower.
But slowed down. And two of them...
start, like, making out and, like, almost having sex.
So they make out. Then he, like, opens his beer, and it, like, spills on her boobs. And he licks it off.
And then all of a sudden, like, the other couple is just gone. Like, they're in another section.
It shows them, like, earlier, the other couple's, the guy is trying to get it on, and she's just not having it. Mm-hmm. But literally, apparently 2 feet away from them, these two are just fucking...
going at it. And so she gets on top of the guy, starts riding him.
With her bikini on.
Yeah, her bottoms are still on. And, like, one of the friends tries reaching over and grabbing one of her breasts and then pulls away.
Also, there is an owl watching them.
Yes.
Remember that?
And then they get in the river, splash around, and end scene.
Well, I just want to say, I've never been softer. Okay?
Neither have I. This... I think I fucking retracted into myself. I might have to go to a doctor.
Because the fact that this goes on for so long is indicative to me that whoever made this wanted this to be sexy. They wanted this to be sexy.
It's one of the longest running scenes in the entire movie.
Well, that's fine, because we timed it.
I got curious.
From the second the boat shows up to when they are out of the lake after they have sex.
Is 7 fucking minutes.
Yep.
7 minutes in a less than hour long movie.
3 minutes of that is them fucking.
Now, I'm sorry. When you have an hour long movie, time is rather precious. Mm-mm. You don't have a lot of time to tell story and, like, complete everyone's storylines.
Well.
And they didn't.
Fuck time.
Yeah, apparently.
Boobs.
Because it's already 20 minutes in and we've got nothing.
Boobs and beer, bro.
That's yeah, because we get more boobs and beer. Well, not boobs, but more beer.
The beer is everywhere.
So they're talking about...
They want
to
do.
What they want to do. One, like, the girls want to go to a rock concert, and they're like, no, we've been to one every single month.
We've seen every band. And the guys want to go to a graveyard, mm-hmm. because that's what you do. They want to go spend the night in a graveyard.
Yes.
As you do.
Yeah, because that sounds way funner than a rock concert.
We've all been there.
You know what? When my favorite rock band comes to town, I'm like, nah, you know what? Fuck that. I'm going to go to the cemetery.
I'm going to go sleep in the graveyard again.
That sounds really fun, actually.
So they draw straws. The girls lose. They go to the cemetery.
Yep. And then, so, like, it starts raining, so they run into a mausoleum. To one of them exclaims that it's dark. In a mausoleum. Huh!
And there's
like, I wonder why!
The girls are like spooked. And one of the guys is like, well, we should figure out something to do. Have some fun. And he's like, my uncle used to draw circles and things. Now, Will, please tell me. That's... He says that.
He says, yeah.
My uncle...
Oh, I know what we could do. And then he starts drawing on the fucking... The coffin. And it was like, my uncle used to draw circles and stuff.
And stuff.
Yes, circles and stuff.
That
and
is the exact... No shit.
This is the beginnings of a demon summoning.
They're like, yeah? Yeah, and then you put your hands in the circle. So, okay.
Oh,
fellas?
My God. Oh, my God. This fucking... Seed.
The great Canadian zombie summoning method is you draw a circle, you put your hands in the circle,
and then
you just start saying gibberish.
Well, he says, like, Satan,
Lucifer,
something, come. Well,
he says
come far too many times.
Bicentennia, and I'm like,
dementia.
Like bicentennial?
Yeah.
What?
Dementata. Dementia.
Come! He says come way too much, yes.
Yeah. He should have said vagina dentata.
That summons all the demons.
So it's not working, so they're getting pissed off and no spooky shit is happening. So what is
and
he
then,
do?
And then this is where you know that the movie's made by, well, produced by a teenager.
Because he runs over to a corner and flips a cross upside down.
There is a cross just hanging there. He just flips it upside down, and now the room is sufficiently demonic.
Yes.
So they do the exact same fucking thing, and the zombies start coming out of the ground.
Yep, that's true.
And for some reason, everyone is in like a trance.
It's your typical cliche where the hands start slowly coming out, then they start like getting up and, you know, trying to like dig the dirt off of them. And so, like, one of them is in, like, a deep trance, so the guy snaps out of it, and he's, like, he goes over to the cross, flips it the other way around, and then yells some, like, God shit at her.
Yeah.
And then she's fine. She's like,
Satan, be gone. That's all you have to do is just flip the cross back up.
All he had to say was, the power of Christ compels you.
We can't talk about good movies, Will.
Oh, sorry.
So shut the fuck up.
It's a great day for an exorcism.
Yeah. It's a great day to die. After this?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great day for an exorcism.
Drowning myself in beer.
I would rather get the fucking demon Pazuzu.
So they get all freaked out, so they want to leave the fucking mausoleum, and they open the door.
And one of them goes and looks around.
And doesn't see anything.
And he sees nothing. He comes back. It's clear. And then
they try to leave, and instantly,
like 50 zombies just jump on him.
Well, there's 3, but I guess they were going for maybe 50. And it's, again, we get a fantastic slow-mo scene of the zombies, like, slowly taking one of the guys down.
So they take down the girl, and somehow, everyone else escapes. And they...
So the guy, the guy that wanted to draw circles and stuff gets attacked, but he gets away with them.
But he's like injured, and they run away. One of them gets like a shovel and like fights them off, and they drive off. And then we get,
we get fake vomiting guy to show us that there's a violent scene coming up,
and we just see these zombies like eating guts.
Like,
I mean, the
Night of the Living Dead had better special effects.
The gore is not bad, but considering the fucking bullshit.
Well, I love
gimmick.
I love the zombie that cuts the hand off.
Oh, that's my
and
favorite.
Starts sucking it like a dick.
Okay, I like. I am convinced that whoever was playing that zombie was like fucking having a goddamn laugh. Because he cuts the hand off, which, by the way, is goofy as hell in and of itself, because he takes, like, a shovel and just fucking cuts it off and then picks it up.
He's like, you guys are eating too much. I'm gonna take a piece off for myself.
He starts eating the hand and stroking it as you would a goddamn dick.
Yeah, he starts sucking on the end and, like, twisting his wrist back and like, forth.
It... Come on. No. No! Don't do that.
So they take the injured guy to the hospital.
And they get him ready for operation. And you know it's a serious hospital because no one's wearing sleeves.
The doctors prepping for surgery are literally not wearing any sleeves.
They are wearing, like, the medical version of wife beaters.
And they put on their own, like, surgery gowns. Did you notice that, too?
Yes.
They put them on themselves.
It's very professional.
After washing their hands, which is very sanitary, by the way.
Just their hands. Not their open fucking arms.
No, nothing.
They get him, they do the surgery, and he's dead.
They tried everything. They couldn't do it.
His body rejected everything.
We even tried getting blood from him. We tried everything, but it didn't work. You remember, we tried everything and it didn't work. They say it like 3 times that they tried everything and it didn't work.
Well, they say it, but they say it in like different ways.
Yeah.
It's like, we tried everything, and then he'll say, we tried the medicine, it didn't work. And then he'll say, like, we tried the thing, it didn't work. So then, essentially, his body rejects everything and he's dead. This is where the movie becomes stupid.
There's a term that I like to use. It's called shit the bed. This movie shits now, the fucking bed.
We are not implying that this movie was competent before this.
No, but not at all, actually.
But what we are saying is that this movie operated on some sort of human logic before this.
What little competence there was is completely lost now.
So, the woman who's alive faints. And she is staying at the hospital.
Yep, they let her into a bed because she's upset that her brother died. I mean, that makes sense. But so she starts having this weird-ass dream.
She has two of them, right?
Yeah, so she has a dream where...
What's the first one? Because I don't remember that one.
The first dream is where she, like... The zombies, like, get into the room or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I think, and they get into the room and they start attacking her, but then she wakes up. And then...
Oh, no. The first dream is where her brother is... He stands up out of the coffin and kisses her.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
So, okay.
So now... And then that's when we realize that this is a flashback.
So, yeah, this is when we realize that the guy in the beginning who got killed by the quote-unquote bear is the...
Guy who got killed by the corpse eaters.
That's the guy they brought into the hospital. So she's having a dream where he gets out of the coffin... And kisses her, and, like, his mouth is just covered in blood.
And she has blood all over
her. And then she wakes screams, up.
Wakes up, and then her boyfriend comes in.
And he, like, puts his hands around her to hugs her, and she's a zombie.
And she eats his throat.
Okay, here's what she does. This must have been, like, the gentlest throat rip in history. Because... She bites, like, a giant hole in his throat, and he does not make a peep.
Nope. And he falls back.
He just falls back, and there's, like, blood, like, pouring out of his fucking throat.
I love the next scene, because the nurse comes in to check up on her and doesn't even notice the body on the floor.
Well, she, like, walks up to it and, like, hits it with her foot.
Yeah, like, trips over it.
And then is like, whoa! And then
starts screaming, and then the lady, like, gets up on the bed, like, the corpse eater, and she gets up on the bed and, like, lunges at the
and nurse. Stabs her.
Yeah, and stabs her a bunch of times, and then wakes up from that dream.
So, they do that...
They do two dreams. It was Inception.
This is one of my most, like, hated horror cliches, by the way. Is when they do, like, the fucking fake double dream shit.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have one spooky dream, and then they wake up, and something else scary happens. And then, oh, that was another dream!
It's dumb.
It has maybe worked, like, one out of every 20 times.
So, but, I mean, you can forget everything you just saw.
Well, none of this matters.
Yeah, because you don't see her ever again. You have no explanation on why she has those dreams. It's just all fucking gone. So
the boyfriend runs in.
By the way.
Comforts her.
We have, I'm not shitting you, like, 7 minutes left in this film.
10, bitch.
Maybe.
10, bitch. Fucking 10. Because we had a lot of time of the other guy wandering around the halls drunk, Will.
Oh, that's right. Okay. You're right.
So the boyfriend 10. Comes in, comforts her. They calm down and he tells her, like, you know, think about the good times. And then the scene ends. And we're back at the funeral home.
Yes.
The
guy's like...
He goes to his office.
He sends the...
mortician
or whatever. The mortician away. And he's in his office doing paperwork, and he's getting drunk off of, it looks like apple juice.
It's liquor.
It looks like apple juice.
Well, you know why it's...
It looks
like you know apple why juice. It looks like apple juice?
Because it's apple juice?
Because it is. You know what that is? Acting.
Is it? Because he takes a sip and then refills his glass that was already full.
Oh, that's real shit. Yeah, he takes a sip of the liquor, and he immediately refills his fucking glass. And then he drinks the whole glass, and then just takes the goddamn bottle and just the drinks decanter. It.
All while, like, interjecting, like, there's, like, scenes of, like, hands coming out of a coffin, and just, like
wagging fingers.
Like, jazz handsing on, like, a light. Like,
it's like they shone, like, a flashlight, and then they... Someone put their hands through it. Just jazz hands.
And then it's like a guy's, like, silhouette going against the hallway.
So the guy passes out.
And then
he gets a phone call.
And no one's on the other line.
This never gets explained, but that's fine, because nothing after this point gets explained. So he's like, what's happening? And he gets up, and he is quite possibly the drunkest I have ever seen a human being.
Especially off of apple juice.
Because even... Even if there was, like, vodka in there, he would not get to that insane point.
He because did drink the whole decanter.
He is barely walking. Like, he has to hold on to the fucking walls at every step.
Alex, it's a magical thing called overacting.
I mean, it's something. I guess it's worse than underacting.
I mean, you can't say that...
What's going on?
No.
What's going on? So he gets in the room with all the bodies, and they're all gone.
And he keeps saying, what's going on? What's going on?
He turns into Marvin Gaye.
What's going on?
What's going on?
What's going on?
They should have put that over the... Should just have that playing over the scene.
Someone should do a super cut of that.
What's going on? He just walks around. What's going on? Where's everybody?
One of the corpses wakes up and, like, gets up. And then I don't even know.
So he sees a corpse. Okay.
I don't know how to explain this scene.
He walks up to a corpse eating something, and then we get the second alarm. And the guy, gagging.
And they start, like, attacking the...
And he sees a zombie eating one of the corpses that's in the coffin. And then...
They attack him?
The movie gets drugs.
it's so, like, weirdly cut. Because you have no idea what's going on.
We get shots of him getting attacked.
And then stumbling out of the room.
And then him,
and he's
like...
fine. And then they're ripping out his eyes. And then he's fine.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, not fine.
My favorite, though, is...
like, zombies.
At some point after you see them ripping his eyes out, he just says, my eyes! Which...
Throwback. My eyes!
But yeah, he's like, my eyes! And then he's fine. And then he's not fine. And then he's fine. And then he's at his table. And then he's... at the fucking ground with his eyes look like bleh.
And then the scene ends with him on the ground. Okay, so this is the funny thing, because the scene ends with him on the fucking ground
with his eyes
with
out.
No eyes, dead, like completely dead.
Then
next scene is him getting dragged the curator at
the guy you just saw get his eyes ripped out.
Yes, he's at a insane asylum.
He's getting like the...
And two orderlies are putting a straitjacket on him. And he's like, I'm not insane! And they throw him in a cell.
And credits.
Credits.
What happened?
I don't know.
What happened, boy?
I don't know! I don't fucking know. I cannot explain this one. I really can't. I have no idea what they were trying to go for. I have no idea, like, where they were going.
Did he hallucinate?
The whole thing? He wasn't with the other people, though.
But then why is...
I don't know.
Fine.
Why is he okay?
Were we supposed to...
Where are the other corpse eaters? Where's everyone else? Like, what happened to everyone else?
The zombies? Oh, they ran away. They retired.
They walked off into the sunset.
They retired to Florida.
Yes.
So that's fine.
I mean, they were like, eh.
Nah, this is,
after a few bodies, it was, I'd rather have Mai Tais.
This is the point when the movie ran out of money.
Yeah, because they can't explain. Like, seriously, you could have used that 7 minutes you wasted on that fucking boat scene... and fucking gave us some more plot.
But then we wouldn't have had the least sexy sex scene ever, Will.
I would have been okay with that.
No, the filmmakers were not okay with that.
Wow, one of the shortest films we've watched and potentially one of the shortest episodes we've recorded.
I mean, what the fuck else is...
There's nothing else to say. I don't know... what they were going for. Like, that's my final thoughts. Like, what the fuck? This movie started dumb. I thought they were going to explain things, and then it just went full tilt, fucking insanity, derailed.
Well,
just, it's incompetent, it's childish, it's, you could tell if the producer was a teenager. This, my final thought is this looks like a movie made by teenagers who had only $36,000 to make a movie. Where the money went, I have no fucking idea.
I don't know where that money
went. But it looks like a movie that teenagers would make because there's no fucking, like, resolution to anything.
Who needs...
And, I mean, come on. Summoning a demon with circles and stuff?
But Will, his uncle drew circles and stuff.
They couldn't have said pentagram?
No, circles. It's a circle.
All the other movies... This is giving way too much credit to the other movies we watched. But all the other movies at least had some fucking seance, some, like, symbols, some fucking... Not just circles and stuff. They didn't draw circles and put hands in.
Just draw a circle, put your hand in, and say, Hail Satan.
Yes.
Oh, and make sure all the crosses in the room are upside down.
So, my final thought is, fuck this movie. It's bullshit.
Yeah. This is... I don't know. I'm empty. I'm empty inside. You know what this feels like? This feels like something you make with your friends when you're drunk. And you show it to, like, a group of friends. And you're like, hey, remember when we got drunk and made that movie? You show it to your friends. And then you fucking take it and you lock it in your basement.
And never show
and anyone. And never show it again.
You never show a soul.
That's what this feels like.
Yes.
Except...
This is a shame movie.
They wanted people to see this.
This is a mass-produced shame film.
I would not call this mass-produced. This is very much...
Underground?
Underground. B... Not even B. This is like Z... This is a Z movie.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
It's pretty fucking... Oh, God. Because...
Like, what's... What's the... It's just zombies show up.
What's the point?
There's nudity and beer and zombies.
So, like, some zombie movies tell a story. Some say a message about society.
Oh, God.
This one,
message?
This one didn't fucking do anything. It just was like, hey, three zombies show up randomly, and then a guy gets his eyes ripped out, but he's fine. Like, I don't... I don't get it. Don't understand.
Could they not think of another way to end it?
Why couldn't they fucking finish the movie?
Could they not think of a way to end it? That they had to do that? Like,
or did they legitimately run out of money and, like, that was the last scene they shot, so they just had to attach it to the...
Okay, but... What? No. No.
No.
Just no. I don't buy that. If that's what happened, what a fucking hack. What a fucking hack.
Well, like...
Okay, fine. You ran out of money. You know what? Fix it. Go flip burgers or some shit. I don't know.
Or just end it when they rip out his eyes.
Yeah. Okay, fine. Like, end the movie with them killing him, ripping out his eyes, and then just film, like, a quick scene of... I don't know, like...
Like zombies walking across a gravesite?
Walking to town or something.
Yeah. Or more more zombies onto the ground.
Yeah. That's it.
That's all. That literally all you would have to do. You didn't have to have that fucking, I'm not insane! I'm not insane!
That's me.
I'm insane now.
That's...
Thanks to this movie.
I am insane.
My mind has fucking snapped because I don't get... Yeah, so like
$36,000.
He, like, the director and the producer just made this film, like, way more confusing than it needed to be.
$36,000.
Just end it. Don't try and explain shit. Especially if you don't have the fucking money.
Did you just say, don't try to explain shit? Because, that's exactly what they did, Will.
They tried to explain it.
No! At some point, they just stopped. That's the funny thing is, like, this starts out as possibly the most simple fucking movie ever.
Yes.
And then it just borks. It just stops.
Yeah, it broke.
And they don't bother.
Shattered into a million pieces, and they had no idea how to put it back together.
They're like, I don't fucking know.
Just, like, fuck, just use that scene where he says he's not insane.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
That's a good way to end it.
Well, okay, just, but like, we filmed the scene where he got his eyeballs ripped out. I don't care, man.
Put it in the end.
Put it in the end. Just fucking edit it funny. It's not quite sure if he got his eyes ripped out. Fuck this movie.
That's stupid.
This
It's stupid.
This is stupid, yes.
It's like, it's baby's first horror film. Baby's first zombie film.
You know what? I love this movie.
I don't.
It's very inspirational.
You can go fuck yourself.
Fuck you, Will. This is very inspirational.
You know what?
You know what this shows you? You can do it, baby.
You can make a movie, too.
And guess what? You don't even need $36,000.
No, not anymore.
What the...
You could make a more coherent movie with no money.
Yes! Literally.
No money. Just the items you have in your house.
You could make a better movie with just you and your home.
Yes.
And a phone.
Yeah.
Because at the very least, it won't... It, even like this, because like, this is 57 minutes long. You could make a movie like this.
Doesn't take that long.
So, you know what?
You know what it takes? Thought.
Here's what I want everyone to do. This movie's on YouTube. Go on YouTube and watch Corpse Eaters. And after you watch it, I want you to take 57 minutes out of your day to do something good.
even if it's write a better film plot. Like, I don't know. Like, do something. Anything. Do something good with your day.
Go exercise. Go
fucking...
You just
wasted 57 minutes. You might as well try and gain it back somehow.
Just look at... Like, someone had an idea. Zombies come out of the ground, eat people. And they fucked it up.
Such a simple plot, and they fucked it up.
And they couldn't even...
Like, possibly one of the most simplest horror plots. Because, like... On the planet. You just summon a bunch of walking corpses.
If this made sense, if this didn't break at the end, it would still be a bad movie. But...
At least it would make sense.
At least it would make sense. At least it would have an ending. But the fact that they had 57 minutes, and they couldn't do it...
They couldn't even fill out an hour.
It's just an hour.
Not even an hour.
No one's asking you to make Lawrence of Arabia here, okay?
No, it's not like a 3-hour epic.
It's not fucking Dr. Zhivago. It's an hour long, and you couldn't do it.
Like, no one's telling you to go direct the next Godfather, okay? Yes. Like, just calm the fuck down.
How embarrassing.
They had an hour.
And you couldn't do it.
And they wasted 7 minutes of it on a terrible fucking boating and sex scene.
We had to see him drink the beer from her fucking tits.
We had to get a shot of his nipple close to her nipple. But no! You couldn't fill out a fucking hour. You didn't know how to finish an hour-long movie.
Circles and shit, Will.
Circles and stuff. That's their explanation for fucking summoning... Oh, God. An hour.
The ending should have been they draw a triangle.
You could do anything in an hour, and it would be more significant than this film.
There are short movies that are like 15 minutes.
This poor bastard saved up $36,000 and couldn't even fill a fucking hour. Like, that's true sadness. Like, that is depressing as shit.
Like I said earlier, this feels like the kind of thing you film with your friends when you're drunk and you just kind of show it to each other, like... remember when we filmed that? You know what?
But
this is so incompetent, you wouldn't even do that.
But this is what makes it funny. This poor soul...
Yes.
Saved, the producer of this film saved up $36,000 in the 70s. That's a lot of money.
$36,000 Canadian dollars, yeah. In 1974.
And couldn't fucking...
Do it.
Commit to an hour.
You could not do it.
He couldn't commit with $36,000. There's more, way more competent movies made on much less.
On less money.
Yes.
See, this is why I love this movie and, like, movies like this. Because
it's a dream dying.
There is a German word called Schadenfreude. It means finding pleasure in the misfortune of others. And because it's one thing if it costs a lot of money and it's just a boring piece of shit. We've all seen them.
Yes.
We've all seen those big movies that you're supposed to like.
That cost millions of dollars and no one likes.
And no one likes them. We've all seen them. They're fucking boring. It's not that amusing. But when you see something like this or Axe, it's someone's dream dying.
Well, especially like out of pocket money. That wasn't studio money.
No, that's not
spending out of pocket money.
That's like people putting second mortgages out on their home
to finish this
fucking begging their fucking mom and dad for more money, and like, you could just picture it, and you fucked it up.
You couldn't even fill a fucking hour
begging like someone to like borrow money to make this movie, and then after you make it, they're like, "Hey, can I see it?
Like, I got you a free copy." I'd be like, "No, sorry, I didn't finish it, man. Sorry."
Oh, it's good. Yeah, I didn't really have time to finish. It's like, it's only an hour, dude.
Can you imagine finishing this film and watching the final product and you're like, I spent $36,000 on this shit.
What's that, I think it's in the movie Ed Wood, where he makes Plan 9 from Outer Space, and then he's like in the theater at the end and he's like all proud of his movie while everyone else is fucking losing their mind at how awful it is. That's what I picture. Because we read behind the scenes that the guy who made this movie, not only was he apparently a teenager, but he also owned a drive-in. So you know that he fucking screened this thing.
Got all his friends, all his family. Like,
they're like, oh my god, he made a movie.
He spent $36,000 on this movie. It's gonna be amazing. And then they watched it, and they're like, what?
And then they got to the scene where he licks the Molson off of her titties. And they're like, oh.
Oh, honey, no.
I don't know. I would have been embarrassed from the fucking disclaimer in the beginning.
Dude, I would have been embarrassed from the fucking funeral home director driving around in a circle in a hearse.
Is that how much you
giving a monologue?
Is that how much you struggled to fill an hour?
You can tell the struggle from the fucking beginning. Like, you could just feel it.
Is that how much you struggled to fill
an
hour?
He had no idea what he was fucking doing.
Just some douchebag driving in a circle, being like, yeah, these people waste money on funerals, man.
Was this like his own personal thoughts on fucking funerals?
Oh.
Oh, we getting into some next level shit.
Oh, this is deep. See, we spend all our money on funerals, and then in the end, they eat us.
You know what? This producer spent a lot of money on this funeral of a movie.
He should have saved this money for his own funeral.
Okay? He spent 36... I can't reiterate that enough.
$36,000. But you know what?
That was a fuckload of money in the 70s.
I'm glad he spent that money. Because I got to see it. I got to see him. Whoever the fuck directed this.
You gotta see a dream die tonight.
I got to see some fuckery. Okay? I got to see...
I think it makes it... For me, like, I'm a sadistic bastard, apparently, but it makes it even more enjoyable, the fact that he saved up the money by himself and tried to pay for this fucking...
Well, that's what I mean.
...piece of shit.
All of these really cheap ones are like this, because there's no studio. It's just someone took money and a camera and made a movie. On their own. Out of pocket. And it's like good... It's like, good lord, would you not... If it's your own money, wouldn't you want to, you know...
Wouldn't you demand quality?
Yeah, seriously. Wouldn't you demand that it's better? Like, your fucking name is on it.
your fucking money is on that. Like, all your money.
You might as well, like, this is like your money burning on the screen.
And I'm sorry, if you spent, if you saved up $36,000, I'd probably come up with a better plot than they draw circles and stuff and summon walking corpses.
It's either a rock concert or a night in the graveyard, Will. That's the choice.
That's the best he got. That's the best the producer could come up with.
That's fine. It makes sense because the movie's stupid. However, yeah, draw a circle. My uncle drew circles.
Circles and stuff.
I love that, like, that's just what he says.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, like, well, my uncle used to summon demons by drawing circles. No, he just says, my uncle used to draw circles and stuff. Like, that's supposed to mean something?
Yep.
Like, who the fuck wrote this?
I don't know.
That's not how, no.
Circles know. And stuff. But anyway, so that was,
Corpse Eaters. That was
Corpse Eaters from 1974.
Boy, those corpses sure got
Please
eaten.
Please go watch this, because you just need to see that they spent so much money on this film, and it's so bad.
Look, it's only 57 minutes.
And like you said, just go do something good afterwards. Because anything you do will be more productive than this movie.
Like, you have a cat, go film your cat being silly. And that's better than this fucking movie.
Exactly. You don't have to spend any money on it either.
Yeah. You can be proud of what you've accomplished with zero money.
Just go do it. Just
do it.
Please.
Corpse Eaters, 1974.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. For They Mostly Come Out at Night, this has been Will.
And this has been Alex.
And we will talk to you all later.
Why?
Why?
What's going on?